morning and welcome to New Life. Would you stand with us and sing?
See you. worship team for leading us in worship. It's always a good time. I'd like to invite all the children, if you're ages 3 to 5 or in grade 1 to 5, to come down to the front so that we can bless you before you go down to your own programs. Now, while they're coming forward, I would just like to bless the congregation by not doing what Rob suggested last week, and that is singing to you. That would not be a blessing. Thanks, Stu. So come on down. We'd love to bless you children in a proper way. Okay, please extend a hand of blessing over these children as we pray for them. Lord, we thank you for these young lives that are here with us today, for each one of them, from the youngest to the oldest, to the ones going downstairs. We ask, Lord, that they will learn more of your love, more of who you are, that they will be blessed today in every way. Thank you for their leaders, and we pray that they will be given the wisdom and the skills they need to bring your love to each one of these children. We ask this in your name. Amen. Okay, so, Little Lights, Kids Church, you know the way now. Most of them go happily. Well, my name is Janet, and I'm your host for today, and we're so happy you're here with us. If you're a guest, we are especially happy that you're with us, and we'd like you to fill out a Connect card, which is available in front of you, and you can bring it to the info booth, and you will receive a gift. The info booth is out in the lobby. If you're online this morning, we also welcome you, and we encourage you to comment and interact with others. So we have a couple of announcements today. The first one is about Esperanza, which is actually, you've probably heard in the news recently. The whale got into the Esperanza Inlet, finally. And that is right where Esperanza is. And anyway, we are going there for a missions trip planned from August 10th to 17th. Groups have been going from this church for probably about 18 years to help with a variety of tasks. Our work enables staff to spend more time in their ministry to the local people and to run camps and other activities. So this is an opportunity for families, couples, singles of all ages, pretty much anyone, to come and serve in this beautiful location on the remote west coast of Vancouver Island. All kinds of help is needed. We do painting of the dock, which sort of is an ongoing thing because of the saltwater environment. We'll do a cleanup of the grounds, which are really beautiful. Some skilled people fix machinery. There's all kinds of jobs. There's work in the kitchen. You name it, you can find a job to do there. And also, we have a lot of fellowship together. We have a lot of fun. We play games in the evening. We have campfires, if we're allowed to, and things like that. So think about coming. A number of people have been coming year after year, which shows it's a worthwhile thing to do. So we'd like you to register by April 30th. That's only 2 days from now, if you would like to attend the trip. If you're wondering about it and still not made up your mind, I'll be out at the coffee selling place in the foyer, and you can come and talk to me, let me know. Now, there's also the opportunity for summer internships. We've been granted summer funding for 2 internships from Canada Summer Jobs. Each internship is a full-time ministry position, 35 hours a week at New Life for 8 weeks between June 17th and September 1st. With these internship positions, we're excited to continue with summer programming for children and youth. We currently are taking applications from high school or college students. So if you want to apply, there's more information at newlifecrc.ca/employment. So check that out if you're one of those students looking for work this summer. So today we're taking an offering for the Missions Fund. We do this every month. And our Missions Fund supports the missionaries and the mission partners around the globe. Last week we had the privilege of hearing from Fernando, and he's one of the missionaries, our supported missionaries, while he's working in Colombia. And he says how much he values this continued support from this church. It's one of the only churches that really do support him. And so let's continue to be a blessing to him and also to our other missionaries. We have a total of 4 missionaries and 6 mission organizations spread all over the world. And you can see where they are on the missions board. You can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen or bring it up to the boxes during the fellowship time. And as I already mentioned, we are selling coffee afterwards. This coffee is from Honduras, and it supports people there, but it also brings money to support our missionaries and mission partners. So let's pray for the offering and the work done by our missionaries. Lord, we thank you that this church can reach out across the world through our missionaries. We can reach out by praying for them, giving to them. And Lord, we are excited as we hear reports of the work that is being done. Lord, we ask a blessing on each one of them, that they may know that we remember them, that we care about them. We thank you that we have the opportunity to bring our gifts to you today. And we ask that you will bless them. You'll help us to give with generous hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you give to us. In your name, amen. Okay, so now it's time for the fellowship time. That's 3 minutes to meet someone you haven't met before, chat with someone, get a cup of coffee, stretch your legs, and then be ready to listen to Nathan preach. So enjoy your fellowship time, and thanks for having me.
Yeah. Welcome again. Good to be together to worship our God, praise His name, and continue to worship, hearing His word as well. Before we do that, we just want to take a moment to pray together, commit our lives to God, pray for needs of our congregation, people in it, and bring ourselves before God in humbleness. Let's pray together. God, thanks that we can come to you and hear you speak to us. And we pray, Father, that indeed this morning you will speak to us and that we may hear your voice and that it will train us to hear your voice throughout our days in every aspect of our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can come here to worship, to sing your praise, to hear your word, to speak with you. And so, God, we offer our lives to you, confessing that our lives are broken and marred by sin. And so we bring our confessions to you as well. Father, we pray that you will, by the power of your Spirit, purify us, make us holy as we have sung that you are holy. And so, God, in all of our living, may we glorify your name. Pray for those of us who are struggling with health. Uphold us, sustain us by your presence. Draw us close to you. We pray for healing. We pray for blessing. We pray for encouragement day by day. Father, we especially uphold Nell of Enema. Pray that you will continue to sustain her, bless her. God, we look to you for all things. And so we pray that in the midst of a world torn apart by war, violence, and with so much complexities, God, we offer our lives to you and pray that you will use our lives and our living as a light and as hope in the midst of this world. God, we pray for peace. Peace in those places of our world where there is war. We pray for justice, God, in those places of our world where there is oppression. And we pray, God, that for your faithfulness in the midst of it all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're in this series of called New Realities, recognizing that there are things in our world, situations that perhaps are new to us or at least different in this world than they were perhaps in Bible times, for instance. And particularly our topic for today, you would find nothing about it in the Bible, which might beg the question, well, then why are we talking about it? Well, we want to be able to have a biblical perspective on all of our lives, and that includes some of these things that we want to address in terms of the issues of our day. And so one of them is climate change. Now, to some extent, it is new to us, and perhaps so new that some of us are simply not convinced of it yet. And so there are sides to this particular issue, and it's not the purpose of our preaching today to be able to try to discern one side or the other or another perspective or a different perspective and so on. So, climate change. How, as Christians, do we live in a world where there is this new reality? It's a situation that was, in fact, already observed years ago. Already in the 1950s, people were beginning to recognize that, wait a minute, what are we doing here with our world and the temperature of our world? So what is climate change? Well, so that's the first thing we need to cover. What are we actually talking about? So I'm going to refer a fair bit to Catherine Hayhoe, who is a climate scientist, because I'm not. Addressing this topic requires a bit of research first in terms of I need to know what I'm talking about. Catherine Hayhoe is a climate scientist working in Texas at a university there. But she's also Canadian, so that helps me to say, I'll listen to her. She's also a Christian, and so that also provides a good perspective. To pursue this more, and in fact, each Sunday, we produce a sermon discussion guide that's tucked away in the Encourager, if you receive the Encourager. And this week's sermon discussion guide includes a link to a TED Talk by Catherine Hayhoe, which I would recommend just to get your minds around the whole issue as well. But Catherine Hayhoe explains that climate change is the result of the overuse and the waste of fossil fuels being coal and oil. The overuse and the waste of those fossil fuels, and the reason is because it sustains and feeds our modern lifestyle and our lifestyle expectations. So because the use of fossil fuels expend carbon into the air, more carbon than the earth can handle, carbon then adds an extra blanket, so to speak, to the planet. And that increase, or that blanket, then leads to the increase in the temperature of our planet, and hence leading to global warming. So Catherine likens that to having a fever. So she's talking about the overall average temperature of the earth. So we might push back and go, well, hey, I mean, you know, I wake up one morning and it's, 10 degrees in the morning, and by afternoon it's 30 degrees. So what's the big deal? That's 20 degrees difference. Well, that's why she likens it to having a fever, because she explains that the overall average temperature of the earth has been steady for years and years and years. It's always been the same. It's now in more recent years that it is slowly increasing. And like a fever, when it advances several degrees, well, then we begin to get worried. Worried that it might even threaten our livelihood. And that, obviously, just like a fever, is unsustainable. You don't be content living with a fever. You say, something is wrong. So then the evidence of climate change occurs with not only hotter temperatures, but it influences the way our planet behaves, weather and climate-wise. And so we get more severe storms, we get increased drought and famine. We have a warming and rising ocean because of ice melting in the poles, which then, of course, threatens island nations. We get more poverty and displacement of people because land is being flooded out. And there is loss of species and less biodiversity, less variation of all of the plants and animals that we're used to. So with those kinds of effects and those kinds of dangers, in the first third world, that is for us, We have resources to mitigate changing weather patterns. So we make adjustments and we say, well, it's not so bad. And, you know, and or we say, oh, it's bad, but we can do something about it and so on. But in the two-thirds world, which is largely in the southern hemisphere and where there is much more poverty and less modern development, the effects of climate change become much more dramatic. People have a much harder time, and they tend to be much more tense, worried about climate change. So if you realize these changes, recognize these changes, and just do some observation, well, then this new reality becomes quite a grim picture. And that is the difficulty, of course, which leads to all kinds of different reactions of taking sides as to trying to defend one perspective or another. So here's what I'd like us to do. We've done this once before, so it should work. I'd like us to just recognize what kind of reaction climate change places in each of us. So this is a time for you to haul out your phone, if it's not already hauled out. So take your phone and point it at this QR code, and give me a one-word emotional response as I have described climate change. What's your reaction? And we'll just we'll generate a word cloud just to kind of survey, hey, what feelings do we have about climate change? What kind of reaction? How does it make me feel? Just give one word. Don't write an essay on this. Just one word. Just one simple word. I have no idea actually how this works, but are we good? Okay. Hey, there we go. Excellent. Okay, so generally the bigger words are the more common responses, and then there's individual words coming out and so on. So, all right. So fear, worry, sad, scary, worried, concerned, concerned, skeptical, true, anxious, confused, concerning, sorrow. Yeah, lots of different reactions. Interesting, hey? Freaky stuff. Untruth, there you go. Yep. Extreme. Worries. Curious. All right, so yeah. And even an emoji. All right. Yeah. So, seems like an overwhelming feeling is of general concern, if not even worry or fear. But then there's also this, like, is that true? I doubt it. Nah, or whatever, right? So the responses to climate change are diverse. And whatever the reactions might be, we are all still faced with the reality of the condition of our world, whether it can be attributed to climate change or not. There are these things. And in the face of it, our job here this morning is not to find a proof text out of the Bible for or against climate change, nor to even find some kind of solution, nor to find a passage in the Bible that addresses the issue, because there simply isn't one. I mean, I suppose you could pull some verse out of context and make it a proof text of some sort, but instead, I want us to explore just one particular psalm in the Bible, and then to explore some of the values that that psalm exposes that we can promote in the face of a new reality such as climate change. The psalm is Psalm 72. Psalm 72. It's a coronation psalm, which meant that it was a poem written specifically for a king. Not sure whether it was written by David, because at the end of the psalm it says it's Psalm of David. At the beginning of the psalm, in the Hebrew, it actually says of Solomon. So whether David wrote it for Solomon, his son, to take over the kingship, or whether it was Solomon writing this psalm, reflecting on how his dad was the king and how he wants to be the king, we're not sure. But anyways, Psalm 72. We're going to read it together. You can follow along on the screen or on your phone or in your Bible. Here it is, Psalm 72. This is the word of the Lord. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and of violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Well, in the first place, then, reading this psalm, I want us to notice here the reference to ruling. A word, a single word in this psalm, to rule. Verse 8. May he rule from sea to sea. Now, it's just a single word and a single occurrence in this psalm, but that word has prominence in the Old Testament. Already beginning in Genesis chapter 1, when God creates human beings and commissions them to have dominion over all the earth. Dominion is the same word used in the Hebrew as this word in this psalm, to rule. May he rule from sea to sea. Specific reference to the Genesis account where God hands over, as it were, his reign to people. It's the idea that God is putting human beings in charge. Not that he's giving creation away and saying, here, you do with it what you want, just carry on and have a good time. But he's saying, I created this world, I rule over this world, but I created human beings specifically to be able to hand off ruling the world to them. He's granting to us the rights and the responsibility to care for his creation, to care for it, to tend it. And that commission operates on a number of levels for us here in this psalm. So, the immediate context, of course, for this psalm, as I mentioned, is a prayer for the king, a coronation psalm, a poem that's written to say, here's the instructions of how a king ought to rule. So it's David's prayer, perhaps for Solomon or Solomon's own prayer. A psalm that points to the way things are supposed to run in terms of how do you govern this? How do you manage all of this, what's contained in the world? A psalm that points to the way things are supposed to be according to the rulers over the world. Kings. On another level, however, this psalm has long been recognized not just as referring to a specific king in historic time, but it's also been recognized as a messianic psalm. So on another level, Psalm 72 points to Jesus, the king of creation who rules over the whole earth, or as Paul says, the one by whom, through whom, and for whom all things have been made. Psalm 72 points to Jesus as the king who rules over the whole earth, even today. And so, in a few weeks, we'll be celebrating the ascension of Jesus. Ascension of Jesus into heaven after he's resurrected. We celebrated that at Easter. Resurrected from the dead, right? And that signifies the victory that Jesus has accomplished, not just over death, but also over sin, conquering the world, and then ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, says the Apostles' Creed, which is a testimony to Jesus as the King of the world. That sense of the psalm gives us hope that Jesus rules and continues to rule over the entire creation. However, it doesn't just stop there. We don't just put up our hands and go, oh, okay. Because ultimately, we also, all of us, rule as kings in the name of Jesus. The statements made in Psalm 72 of how a king ought to rule apply to that historic king for whom the poem was specifically written. But it also applies to Jesus, how he rules over creation. And then in the name of Jesus, it also applies to how we rule over creation, how we are called to have dominion over all creation. So one value in facing climate change is that we care about climate change. Or at least that we care about creation and we care about some of the unusual events that occur, that we care about the effects of those events on various populations. We care, we have a concern, we're drawn to say, hey, this is part of my calling to have dominion over creation. A second value in this passage is how precious and glorifying creation is. Notice all of the connections. All of the connections in this psalm of ruling to the beauty of creation. So we get phrases like this in verse 3. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. The mountains have a role in that. May the mountains bring prosperity. All creation has a role in providing for us. 5a as well. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May that dominion that we are called to endure. May it be faithful, right? In connection with the sun and the moon and the stars. I love this verse. Verse 6. May he be like rain falling on a mown field. You just got to imagine, right? The psalm writer is trying to paint a picture, and he's connecting our dominion, our rule, with the beauty of creation. May the king be like a rain falling on a mown field. Ah, you can just smell it. Like showers watering the earth. Imagine dry ground just sucking up the water, right? Providing that nourishment for growing plants. How the soil just swells with moisture. And you're like, ah, that's a good thing. Our dominion ought to be like that, to reflect the beauty, to even sustain the beauty of creation all around us. Or verse 16, may grain abound throughout the land, on the tops of the hills, may it sway. I mean, the psalmist is using specific words here to create an image of your mind that the way you rule is not only going to keep creation working, but it's also going to sustain the beauty of creation. We have a responsibility to the beauty of creation, to the marvel, to the wonder of creation. We aren't just ruling over some idea. We aren't just guarding our own survival or livelihood or lifestyle. We're tending a garden. We're tending a garden for its beauty, the beauty of creation, as well as the beauty of living. That's an important value that the psalmist is calling us to as we take up this calling of having dominion over the world. A high calling indeed. But it even has to do with how we regard beauty. And then a third value from this psalm is the righteousness and the justice of God that is reflected in ruling. So we read, as this psalm develops this sense of having dominion and guarding the beauty of creation, and then suddenly in verse 12, switching gears, right? So may the king do this, may the king be that. Suddenly, verse 12, for he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. See, the king was expected to reflect the rule of God over all creation and people. And in God's rule, the focus for equity and well-being, prosperity, the focus was on the needy. The focus was on the afflicted. The focus was on the weak and the oppressed. In other words, prosperity happens when we live in God's justice, when we live in God's righteousness, which is essentially in the Old Testament the same word. Justice and righteousness. How do you live right? How do you live in a right way? You live in the justice of God, what God determines as fair. So inasmuch as we're the caretakers of creation, our dominion, our rule must imitate God's justice. It ought to imitate God's compassion for the weak. It ought to imitate God's mercy for the oppressed. It's an important value as we assess our calling to dominion, to rule over creation. Because some of the weak and the oppressed today are those who are impoverished by the effects of climate change. How do we exercise dominion in this new reality so that people threatened by droughts and floods are treated justly and with compassion? So three important values. The value of having dominion, the value of guarding the beauty of creation, the delight with which God enjoys creation, and then also guarding the justice and the righteousness of God as we rule over creation. So one of the things that Catherine Hayhoe warns about is simply telling the worst of climate change. Because usually that just results in fear, and then fear is demonstrated by paralysis. Just doing nothing. It's like, hey, if it's that bad, what can we do? It doesn't inspire anyone to action. So she recommends engaging our heart and our hands by sharing how climate change affects us, offering a message of hope as well, to say, this isn't just a matter of telling people how bad things are and then throwing up our hands. As Christians, certainly, in the calling that God has given to us to have dominion over creation as underlings to God's dominion, to his ultimate rule, we can offer a message of hope rather than a message of denial or fear. And that message of hope, I think, can only come from God's own revelation in such passages as Psalm 72. Because just like Psalm 72 operates on several levels, as I've described, so also our response can link to those various levels. Let me explain. On one level, we can seek justice and righteousness in national and political leadership. We ought to. We can pray the kind of blessing on political and national leaders that Psalm 72 portrays. We don't have kings, but we do have rulers over us who need to be called to justice and righteousness. In a particular aspect of life, they're called to the same dominion that all of us are called to, but in a particular way. On another level, we ourselves are rulers under King Jesus. And we too can seek justice and righteousness. And we too can seek beauty and the care of beauty over our world. We can do that in the context of our personal lives. We can do that in the context of our church. We can do that in the context of our families, in terms of determining how we live, what we live for. What does it mean? We can ask ourselves, what does it mean for us to be obedient to God's command to have dominion or to care for all creation, to rule over people and forests, to seek justice for needy people and drought-weary land, to guard the beauty and the value of the oppressed and of the polluted oceans. What does it mean in our family to foster the kind of justice for the beauty of living that values fairness and equity, flourishing and well-being throughout the world? Ultimately, then, the message of hope originates from our confidence and our trust in a just and righteous supreme King, King Jesus. He is our Savior, which is not just a silver bullet. It's not just a matter of saying, oh, well, God's got this, so I don't have to worry about it. It doesn't excuse us from our responsibility and our calling towards the calling that God has given to us. Acknowledging and living according to the values that are reflected in Psalm 72 are one way for us to address these new realities. Heho says, talk about climate change. Talk about it and reflect on the values that you hold. And do they match up with biblical values? Because, she says, debating about climate change usually only lands us in some kind of political camp or other. Except as Christians, we don't simply want to be known by our political perspective. As Christians, we want to be identified as followers of the Savior in whom we have our hope. We want to be known primarily as Christ followers, people obedient to the calling that God has given to us. We don't want to just be known by our political stripes. And so, perhaps this is the beginning of a conversation, talking about the value that shapes the way we live, the value of creation's beauty, the value of compassion and justice, the value of prosperity and well-being for everyone. And then, as Psalm 72 concludes, praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth, not just my own life, not just your life, but may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you for your creation. In some sense, it happened so long ago, we forget. We just show up here and we just enjoy it, take it, use it. Help us to be mindful, God, of the reason why you placed us here on earth. And so help us to uphold these values that we've talked about from Psalm 72. God, may we be patient with ourselves and with one another in reflecting on those values and how we live and the expectations of our life and our lifestyle. Forgive us, God, when we've been disobedient, but encourage us in the hope that Jesus sustains and rules this world. And so may we be obedient to our calling. May we be even enthusiastic. May we celebrate and give praise for the greatness, the marvel, the wonder of your creation. God, you are a good God, and we give you all the praise. And we join together with all creation in singing of your glory. And so we pray, may the whole earth be filled with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So may you go out praising our God, the God of all creation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face of love towards you and give you his peace. Amen.